Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 426. And it's the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it? It's Drunkcast time, ladies and gentlemen. Those who are familiar with this will know this tradition that me, Chris Glasson and Stu Whiffin get together at the end of the year. We drink for 4 or 5 hours and we record it and we give it to you guys as our Christmas gift. It was a great one this year. We did 5 episodes in the end and an episode of Off the Beaten Track. So, yeah, a lot for you to enjoy. But this obviously comes with the usual warning of this is three drunk guys probably saying offensive things at points or stupid things or confused things. So if you're easily offended, maybe ease off. Or the first episode's probably all right, but we did have pre-drinks. So at least by the second episode, it gets messy. And the second episode will be with you today as well at midday because I wanted to really give you some goodness. So the rest will be coming out over the course of this festive period. So you get parts 1 and 2 today. Part 3 will be out on Friday. Part 4 will be out on December 27th. And then part 5 on December 29th. So you get 2 today. Third as a little Christmas Eve treat. And then the last 2 in that gap between Christmas and New Year. And we talk briefly in part 2, or big love for all the previous guests. In fact, if you listen to these 2 and want a bit more, obviously we've got previous drunk casts this year with me, Stu and Chris. Last year with Ramesh Ranganathan, Brett Goldstein, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Jade Adams, Rich Wilson, loads of amazing people. So yeah, they're all available. But most of all, thank you all for tuning in all year, and I hope you enjoy this as much as we do. So I'll stop rambling. Obviously, I should mention speechdevelopmentrecords.com is where you can buy the merch and support the podcast. You can go over to patreon.com/scroobiouspip if you want to just throw some money at me, but the merch is really good. As you hear this, it's probably going to be too late to get it in time for Christmas, but if you get some money for Christmas, there's good stuff there to buy, and obviously, I appreciate your support. It makes a difference. But yeah, this is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 426, and it is part 1 of the 2021 end of year drunk cast. Tread carefully, ladies and gentlemen. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces.
Is there a reason why you just put loads in your hand?
I've pressed record. You might be able to tell that we've already had a couple of drinks as we recorded an off-the-beaten track before this, but I am here today for another drunk cast, and I am joined by one of my oldest friends, Christopher Glasson, and one of my oldest friends, Stuart Whiffin.
I knew that was coming. As soon as you said that, I thought, oh, I know where we're going there.
I was so happy when I came up with that the other day, wasn't I? Obviously, how are you, boys?
Oh, great, good, man. Yeah. How long have you been sat on that corker?
I came up with it a few days ago, and I've been very happy.
That's very good.
How are we? As said, we've just been doing an off-the-beaten track.
Yes.
Sponsored by Hotel Chocolat.
Yes.
About Christmas songs. So we've had a few drinks beforehand.
Yeah.
Nicely loosened up, haven't we?
But, as ever, there's a lot more drinks to come and some snacks. Mm. There's a lot I want to talk to you boys about. I'll give a bit of a run-through now of things that are on my list. I want to hear about the brush, ups and downs, Stu. Okay. Stu's also had his Holiday from Hell Part 2, Fail Harder. And and I want to hear Chris's Ultimate Holiday from Hell, because that's also a manic one.
It's now a competition.
I've got a thing I've noticed about Stu on Zoom.
I love you, mate. That's so good.
I've got a note from my mum. Did we talk about Joe Hymus on the last one? Because I want to talk a little bit about Joe Hymus if we didn't. I've got top 3 or 4 things Stu has said on the Two Girls, One Shot podcast. And we'll talk about TV stuff, music, films, fights, podcasts, all that kind of thing.
So yeah. Oh, and I've also got some requests from people on the socials. So I've got a few questions, a few favourites, a lot of requests for Stu's story about DJing in Dartford. So we need to remember to get round to that.
I thought there was something legal around that. That's why you don't keep on answering.
But yeah, we'll get round to that at some point soon, I'm sure. But to kick things off, first things first. Yeah, Chris, penis update, please. Are you a hoodie or a skinhead?
I'm still a Cavalier, mate.
And which one's that?
Well, you should have gone to fucking history class, pal. That's not my problem. Yeah, no. I'm a Cavalier, but I'm waiting to become a Roundhead.
Is it still part one?
It's part, yeah, man. I don't think that'll ever go. I think, like, once a car's been in a category D, it loses all its value, really. So, yeah.
Shop soiled.
I've got the last person who looked at my penis said they reckon it'd be pretty quick now. And,
is this a medical professional? Or?
Yeah, no. My girlfriend. And, no, it's, Still waiting. I think
I've also had a request from Molly of something to discuss. So that'll come up later.
Oh, no.
That's Chris's
girlfriend, by the way. Who knows what that's about? Yeah, no, it's the weird thing is it's coming off now, the foreskin, but...
What, on its own accord?
Yeah, I just called it on a railing. But it looks all right now.
It's just slowly dying. It'll fall off.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
No, what I mean by it's coming off is that I'm definitely having the procedure.
What's bad? Is it like too tight for your helmet?
No. How can a compulsive masturbator at 41 have a foreskin that's too tight for their helmet? It's literally not possible. It's basically like a snood.
It's translucent.
It's been
now.
A snood for
worn
years.
Through.
It's barely a foreskin.
Looks like a see through Mac.
Gritty two skin.
Yeah. Two skin, three skin at best.
Chrissy two skin. It's got. I'm going to have it off, but basically, the last guy, I had to explain to the last guy because it looks so healthy.
The last guy? The guy
who's having your cock joke. A lot. The last guy, I was like, listen. There's a good reason
so
why
healthy.
It's like, there's a good reason why I think it still needs to come off.
Yeah.
No questions asked, mate. He was well keen to get this foreskin off. I think it's a money thing at that point. So they're kind of like they're going to make money out of it. I don't think they really give a shit. But it looks,
it's looking
performing like you know, on Amazon, my rating's gone flying back up now. User reviews. Good. But, yeah, it's still coming off, man. But, no, not until probably March, I reckon.
Oh, really?
But my brother...
That might be slowed down because of the bloody
fucking
COVID.
Exactly. But my brother...
Omicron.
He had it done. Yeah, bloody Unicron. My brother had it done when he was older, and he's put the willies up me. There we go. He said that the biggest pain you're going to get is when you get, like, an erection when you're asleep. So I'm not looking forward to that, gang.
Don't sleep.
Tell me that. It's like
it's one way to deal
Nightmare
that.
On Elm Street.
Just get like, every time you just dozing off, just get money. Go.
Thanks, babe. Thanks.
Imagine Freddie with little erect cocks on the end of his fingers that appearing on the bed.
No, we're just surgical knives. One, two.
Yeah. Oh God. So yeah.
No, it's all good, man. Thank you. Thanks for caring.
Thanks for checking in. Well, I get, you know, semi-regular updates on Hardcore Listing, but it's sometimes you don't talk about it, and I'm worried if there's a reason. So, how are you both? How's your week's been? We're heading into Christmas. Like, we're recording this the week before it comes out, so it's a really nice, tight turnaround,
tight,
I guess. But, are you good, Chris?
No, I've been miserable. I even said to Stu yesterday, I was like, I'm really fucking sad.
Dry your eyes, mate. Exactly. That's a reference to the Off the Beaten Track.
Yeah, you have to listen to Off the Beaten Track to hear that tragedy. I've been miserable just because I've got a lot on my plate, and I don't think you should always just be like, yeah, it's fine. Because we haven't caught up properly all together. So I was saying to Shu, fucking hell, I'm going to well pull the vibes down in this place. Just because lots on my plate at the moment. The DIY is kind of aside, but mum... And other things, it's just been quite fucking difficult. So, knowing me and knowing what brings me in good spirits is make sure that I have, like, I think you should, if you can recognise when you're getting sad or getting overwhelmed, know what the causes are and also know what the solution is. And part of the causes for me is once that starts happening, I want to draw inside myself and try and work harder at what is causing me the problems. But I actually know what the solutions are, which is hang out with my mates. So, like, absolutely, coming and seeing used to pricks was, like, absolutely essential for me.
Have you got a set date on when you're winding down for Christmas? Obviously, you're going to have a set date. With house stuff, have you kind of said, look, from this day to this day, fucking chill. It is what it is. Here's where we are. Obviously, mum stuff, it's your mum. There's no kind of...
I asked my mum if she could stop having dementia.
Just for Christmas.
But I've got she said yes, but I think she's going to forget. So. actually part of it is that. And I've put loads of stress on Molly, bless her, with the house. And me being a bit OCD, wanting it to be decorated to a certain standard.
Completely.
So, which is kind of unfair.
It's one of the reasons I came round to kind of to help out for a couple of days. Because it was exactly that. I know that you will be stressed, and part of it will be because of the pressure you're putting on yourself.
Yeah.
But I felt that the brief times that we spoke on the phone, I was like, it's weighing on you heavy. It's knowing how you are, it's probably weighing on your relationship heavy, because you like to be the positive, uplifting person. So if you're down, it's going to affect everything. Yeah. So, I just think I've been not particularly down, but I've had a thing this year where I've traditionally kind of said, just keep working hard. Everyone's off work now at Christmas. Keep going. I made a point of today is the last day I'm doing any work-type stuff so that I can go. Like last week, I had two podcasts every day, and it was doing me in. But it means I've got podcasts recorded all through January now. I'm kind of really ahead of the game. I've got good ones all about the place. And it was for exactly that reason of going, I think it's important to have scheduled time, actual time off, and go, right, I'm not working. And as you know, I've always had a problem with in my life of just being it's why I don't really have holidays, because I'm just, I always say, to have a holiday, you need to have a boss to be on holiday from.
Mm-hmm.
If it's your own head, you can't go on holiday. As depressing as that sounds, you can't escape that. So, but yeah, that's with Christmas, I've been really on that of going, right, I knew the drunk cast was booked in. I looked at everything else, like, I can get most stuff done and then just go, at least have a 10-day period, which is a long time for over Christmas, but it's fucking needed sometimes, particularly with how things have been in recent times.
I've needed Molly to help me with that. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Because I'm actually all right. Like, different to you guys, I'm quite good at procrastinating if I only think I've got myself to let down. And it's not procrastinating. I'm just quite comfortable existing. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a whole different conversation there about what people expect you to do, to what you enjoy doing. But I'm quite okay with that. But, like, if I feel I've got people depending on me, in certain scenarios, I can get obsessive and weird. And I think I need Molly to help me realise that that's what I was going to do. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's absolutely essential. Like, you can't just tread milk into butter. You know, you've actually got to just chill out and relax. And so between Christmas and New Year, I'm going to go and do a load of volunteering and charity work. No, I'm not. I'm going to, I'm doing nothing. I'm just seeing a family mainly. And I'm probably going to probably play Risk Legacy, which you guys are both invited to.
I'm well up for some Risk Legacy.
Bit of Warhammer, Stewie?
Nah, bollocks.
Well, I mean, we've started on a heavy note there, rightfully so. No. Again, I always say it on other episodes, but what I love about the Drunk Cast is there will be fucking nonsense, but we're also quite comfortable to go, here's what's going on. And there's more I want to talk to Stu about on that front, because I know you've had some really stressful times, but to bring the fucking mood up a bit...
Mm-hmm.
It's present time, guys. I've got you guys some presents.
I've got you presents.
This is so kind. Well, I might have you guys presents, but so maybe, maybe first? Not. I want presents first. Because you guys...
I've got
guys
you two presents, actually.
Excellent. Fucking hell. Yeah. This might make me feel terrible. It won't.
They're quite normal presents.
Okay, all right. Can I open all my presents first?
Well, let's...
Okay.
Shall we open the ones from Stu first?
Yeah,
but All right.
Look at you. You want to open the best ones first, didn't you?
Who wrapped this?
Me.
Fucking, I can tell.
He was complimenting me earlier on saying what a good rapper I am.
What the fuck is that?
I wrapped these about
5 minutes before I come to pick yous up.
That's disgusting.
I've got the ultimate movie challenge.
Well, you like you like films.
Don't say it aggressively.
I'm
happy about it.
Well,
I touched your face. So you have to listen to Off the Beaten Track.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of callbacks to an episode that might not be out yet.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, sorry, go on, you go first.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about this. I was thinking the other day, I've not really got any games, like physical board games or things, and I know you've got a load, but the in-between of Chris's obsessive games and, you know...
That game's just a bit of fun. Chris's games are a marathon of fucking misery.
Mate, I'm into
it. Oh, my Lord. 50 things to make the world a better place. Tips, tricks, and daily good deeds to help you be a ray of sunshine. Great. I mean, what are you saying about me? I came on this podcast and went, "How you been, guys?" Pretty fucking depressed.
Keep it light, mate. Read your fucking cards.
You know what I said to Stu? Yes, like when we started recording for a podcast yesterday, he asked me, I was like, "Oh, do you know what, mate? It's been a bit fucking heavy the last few days." Yeah, well, he said, "Have you considered killing yourself?" And Stu works for a charity. A shout out to Reach Out.
Yep.
Wonderful charity.
Yep.
We did a top five, didn't we?
We did, yep. And Pip guessed on an episode for Reach Out.
Yeah,
for mental health.
I saw that. It was that Reach Out for Mental Health, yeah.
It's going back to it's worth thinking about, mate.
Yeah.
You fucking rude cunts. After all our friends who have died and killed themselves, you would go and make a sensible suggestion. Like, they all did it wrong. Why didn't you do it, Chris? Thanks, Stu. Yeah, all amazing. Right. All right. Ages 8+.
Yep.
That means there's not a big rule book with this.
No.
I like a nice, at least a 30-page marathon read in terms of rule book. Oh, thanks, mate. Thank you so much. Can I pull out a card here and read
it?
Yeah. Oh, hold on. I've got to be careful here because I don't want to tear the box packaging. I have this weird worry that if I tear the box packaging, I'm going to devalue the game.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't look into it too much, mate.
No, in 500 years, one of my great-great-grandchildren might need to sell this to feed their cocaine habit, so, or whatever drugs they're big onto now. Right, okay, so number one. Right, write a thank you note to someone who's important in your life, who's helped you. Oh, that's cute. It's very nice, actually.
I look forward to receiving it.
When he came and did the DIY, he showed up with a cape, wearing a cape.
I did. Right, I've got two gifts for each of you. And
wow.
When we were talking about Off the Beaten Track, I think it was on Off the Beaten Track, Chris was saying about opening your presents on Christmas morning. Now, in my family, we've always had, you have kind of a Santa's sack Christmas morning, which is kind of silly stuff, and then you have your main present after Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the small presents first, and then the main present, I mean, immediately afterwards. I'm not going to wait for you to have Christmas dinner, but Chris, that's for you.
Oh, thanks, mate.
And Stu.
Thank you.
After Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
That's why you've got great willpower.
Yep.
Because I would have burnt my house down.
That's what we were brought up on, man. It's intense.
Can I open it,
yeah? Yes, open. Go ahead.
Oh, wow, this is great.
You wrapped it in newspaper.
Yeah, I've wrapped it in newspaper all eco and that.
Pip's wrapped it in newspaper. And that's exactly what you should do.
I purposely chose one that reviews a podcast on yours, Chris, as I know you don't listen to podcasts.
Big fan. Life of Pi.
Pip, you've just got me a really amazing present.
Are you familiar with what this is?
The Outsiders.
Right, but no, it's a really interesting story. It is, but it's my brother was telling me about it, right? Is it a Coppola who did?
Francis Ford,
He was advised to do The Outsiders by a teacher.
Of course it is.
Or Apples. Sophia, I guess, yeah.
Talia Shire.
I didn't know that one.
He's the daughter who played, obviously, he's Adrian in Rocky.
She's
in The Godfather.
Jason Schwartzman.
His mum is Jason Schwartzman.
Weirdly, I only found that out the other day about Schwartzman being related. So, sorry.
I told you.
I found out I was reading somewhere.
But no, so he was advised to make a film of the book The Outsiders by a school teacher. And when it came out, he went and showed it to the school teacher. And she came back and said, "It was good, but why did you leave out these key bits?" And he said, "Because of editing, we didn't have time." He's gone back, because they did film everything, so he's gone back and done an edit that is as the book.
That's incredible.
So it's like an extra 20-30 minutes or something of stuff that didn't make the original edit, but they've edited it to be to match the book now, which
that's amazing.
It's fucking mad. I'm generally against the director's cuts and all that kind of thing. I think it gets too much now, and it's like, just release the film. But I've watched the original. I haven't watched the...
So I guessed it on the Caged In podcast the other week, which is all about that family.
Mm-hmm.
and I said that this is my favourite film by Coppola.
I thought it was one of your favourites, and then I panicked as I walked in and saw the Wanderers on the wall. Like, have I misremembered it? Is it the Wanderers you're in? But no, yeah, I'm sure you'd mention it.
And the host of it, I said it's mine, and he went, "It's mine too." Lifted up his arm, and he had a tattoo saying "Stay Gold Pony Boy," and I was like, "Fucking hell! Amazing. What a fucking tattoo!" Like, yeah, oh man, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
No worries.
Your rapping is really good, mate.
I've got a rap presence well.
But going back,
I was going to make a little joke then, but I thought that'd be too obvious.
I made that joke earlier off mic because I'm quite obvious.
Okay, let's open this. But use newspaper, folks, to wrap up your stuff.
Yeah, that was exactly.
Oh my god, this is so good. Oh my. Oh, thank you, Chun-Li. Thank you, Chun-Li. So basically, this is swimsuit special. That's incredible.
So it's basically the, like, you know, Sports Illustrated does their swimsuit edition each year.
Jesus,
it's that,
fucking
but
wet
for the Street Fighter characters.
I don't. This looks incredible.
Weirdly, I was told about it by Raoul Coley, who is in Midnight Mass.
Oh,
which I know you really enjoyed,
man.
And we'll talk about
one,
later.
Yeah, it's one to talk about.
I saw he had it, and I was like, I need to get that for my mate Chris.
Chris. Oh my god!
I wouldn't take that polythene off until March, Chris.
Actually, yeah.
You mean on the book or on his? He's having his polythene off in March, isn't he?
I won't get the DIY done if I open this, Molly. You got to go back to your mum's. It's gonna be it's gonna be a lot of mess. It's gonna be a lot of mess in the house. Honestly, there's gonna be paint stripper everywhere. That is incredible, mate. I can't stop myself. Hold on, let me just have a quick dive in here.
Have a little dive in.
Oh, this is incredible, isn't it? What a time to be alive, guys.
And it's
really
a proper big, like the annuals that come out at Christmas. For people who obviously no one can see this, but it's not like a little pamphlet. It's like a Beano annual type thing.
Yeah, and it's wrapped. It's securely wrapped, so you can't have a cheeky peek.
In the shop.
Like, was this on the top shelf?
Lovely.
This is incredible. Thank you so much. I'm going to give you your presents, but I'll give you your presents after a certain point in the podcast.
I've still got your guys' main presents to come, so I'm going to
have
them over
what?
Next. This was the teaser.
Insane.
This was the morning teaser.
So this is the this is like in your this is at the end of your bed when you wake up.
Yeah. The Street Fighter swimsuit edition.
Oh my lord, I can't believe that. Let's have a quick look at it. Look at Ryu and Ken looking. Ryu's got a vest.
To be clear, it's guys and girls. This isn't some sexist thing. It's all of them in their swimsuits.
Oh, this is something else. This is.
I purposely left both of them wrapped in their cellophane because I thought.
Oh, wow.
People are going to think I've just bought these for myself because they're very much my cup of tea as well.
It's so good. And,
it's good shit, right? There's Chun-Li.
Chun-Li, oh, you beautiful woman. Vega. They're just all so handsome, aren't they? Handsome and sexy. Oh, that is incredible, that is. Right, okay.
I mean, Chun-Li obviously comes up a lot. That's the main reason that this book was made, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's for sexy pictures of Chun-Li.
Cammy, though. She's beautiful. Anyway, thank you so much, Rubius.
No problem.
What a bloody thoughtful gift.
Now, here's your main gift, and I'm going to tell you some stuff before I hand it to you.
Okay.
One of the things I've enjoyed on Hardcore Listing over the years is the realisation, like, Chris always got painted at the start as the nerd, the kind of, he loves his Warhammer and all that.
Yeah.
One of the things I've loved is the reveal that Stu is as much of a Star Wars nerd, if not more than a Star Wars nerd,
absolutely,
than Chris. Again, because you're not particularly into sci-fi, all that kind of thing, it was a surprise. So I got Riker. Like, remember he made a little Stormtrooper figures of me? I got Riker to make Stormtrooper figures of each of you guys.
Are you fucking serious?
I am, so...
Oh, no way. So let's have a look. Let's see what...
Unwrap that.
Well, thank you very much, Ryan Callanan. Hope you're well.
He's one of the best.
He's one of the best that ever did it. One of the most prolific and fast-working artists. What has he made? You're kidding me.
Oh, that's so incredible.
That is. You've got your dongle out. Look at that.
Explain and describe, they're little Stormtrooper figures that have got their Stormtrooper helmet and boots on, but are naked other than that. So they've got their little willies hanging out.
Top five low-hanging fruits.
Oh, amazing.
Genius, man. That is genius.
Complete with worst photo of me and worst photo of Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I had to hit Carol up to get a good copy of the worst photo of Stu to get some options. She sent me a few options.
Incredible.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, I don't know if that's appropriate to show on a picture.
I don't know. That's incredible. I'm quite happy with that piece.
I tell you what, Ryan has seen me in the showers.
Oh, Ryan, thank you so much.
Yeah, dude, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
So yeah, that can go in your Star Wars collection over there, Stu.
Riker, thank you so much. And
they're taking some photos now.
Thank you, dude. That is incredible. I can't believe that.
So there we go. And obviously, you know how excited I was to completely overbuild it by saying I've got Riker to do a Stormtrooper of you guys. Oh, dear. Anyway.
Oh, mate, thank you so much. So cool. I'm blown away by that.
Good times, right? We've had the penis update.
Oosh.
Right, in this half, I reckon we can probably get an update on the brush from Stu and maybe Chris's holiday hell.
Okay, yep, sure.
And a load
perfect.
Of other
that
stuff.
Makes
oh,
sense.
Also,
makes
a note
sense.
I had at the start. Oh, I forgot about this. Just throughout the podcast, if they come to mind, I want you to see or to embrace any 90s catchphrases that come to mind that you want to bring back. Stu, obviously, early Drunkcast would go, "Was that?" at the start. And I noted things like, "Somebody stop me!" and "swing" and like, "not." And things like that. So anything that comes to mind over the night, feel free to bring back. That might be the only time I mention it and we forget it completely, it's for some reason I was driving home the other night and I saw something and I thought, "Somebody stop me!" And I thought, man. Chandler Bing has got a lot of catchphrases that everyone was saying in the 90s, but many 90s catchphrases come to mind. But Stu, the last time we did a drunk cast, the brush had just reopened.
Yes.
It was incredibly exciting because you'd had a really stressful time with it being closed and that being one of your main livelihoods for years, for decades now.
Mm.
It opened. Well, let's start with that, I guess. Like, how's that been? Because you were excited about, as weird as it sounds, a lot of people had turned 18 in that period. So there were going to be a lot... One of the things you love about the club, right, is people go into a club for the first time. Because it is a very welcoming club. It's not a intimidating club. It's very everyone's welcome. So how's it been opening, I guess?
It was so good. It was so exciting. You know, complete roadblock. We sat it out longer than all the other clubs. They all reopened a month before
that
us.
That was great.
And we thought you guys made that call. Watch and see what happens before we...
Mm-hmm.
If we can learn anything from, you know, anybody that was opening before us... As it was, everybody seemed to open and it was, you know, all good. So, we reopened and it was, like I say, absolute roadblock. And it was just so exciting. And there were so many people that I'm sure both of you can probably remember your first nights coming in the club. It's a lot different from most other places. Mm. And it was just lovely to see, like, not just people experiencing, you know, a dingy alternative club for the first time, but also experiencing clubbing for the first time.
Mm.
And it was, just absolutely joyous. And, you know, it was really weird. Something that presented itself. The club's called the Pink Toothbrush, for those that don't know what we're talking about. And everybody refers to it as the Brush. It's a club kind of, you know, a bit further from... Well, it's furthest from me, closest to Chris, and Pip's in the middle.
Mm.
And one of the things that I heard, which was really weird, was a youngster going, "Oh, yeah, we're going to Pink's this weekend." And
really?
I was like, "All right, the next generation's referring to it as Pink's, and I've never heard that."
Right.
So but apart from that, it's just been bloody lovely. Like, really,
Pink's.
I know. Just being able to play music to crowds and everybody just being excited to be able to reconnect and enjoy music.
Have you been DJing?
Oh, heaven no.
What?
Hmm?
I DJ for the first couple of months just for selfish reasons.
I was going to say, how's that been for after not? Because it was so weird good. Doing that. That We Are Lizards reminiscing one has been so had me itching to get on some decks again and have a play about. And weirdly, a mate of mine who I mentioned on that podcast was asking about a particular Lizards mix, and then I found them all on SoundCloud. And there's a couple on there that
are bangers
that we never even played out, and I don't remember at all. There's a Busta Rhymes and the Rolling Stones one. I don't remember at all. So I've bought all the gear to do a Twitch stream.
Oh really?
The DJ set. I might not get around to it, but I thought as that one was going out, I was like, I'll look into it, and I got some tips off Dan Lesac, and he was like, all you need is this and then this, and so I'm tempted at some point, maybe in between Christmas and New Year, I was thinking I might do a little DJ set from my studio.
Do it
one night, man. And then if it goes well, as we talked about on the podcast, we could look at doing a reunion set, either in my studio or we can go somewhere.
Lovely.
Yeah. I thought you'd have got the message that I barely showed up for it. I'm absolutely not up for doing that, these pricks.
So good. I know we've talked about it a lot, but the fact that you picked the date and time.
And listen, there's no...
And you weren't doing anything.
That's not a setup either. Yeah. Like, you guys know me well enough to know that's textbook lesson. It's weird because I don't miss other podcasts. Mm. I've never missed another podcast. And my mother's life. And I said to you guys that night, I actually wasn't doing anything. I was having a night off. I was having a night off. And I hadn't even looked at my phone. Like, we were talking about big nights in. I started a big night in.
Yeah.
And cheated a big night in because I checked my phone. And I was like, oh, you prick. And then realised that I'd missed like most of it. And you know what? But part of it was wanting to catch up with, I love you guys, but catching up with Destruction Moss and Bill. I still haven't caught up with Bill, but I got to catch up with DJ Destruction in Margate. He came and did a set at a point
on the coach, right?
Yeah, it was dope, man. That guy, he's got better, like, somehow. Like, he's sort of got a whole different directions with genres now to fit with his experiences DJing in Europe and for Harley Davidson. Man, he was smashing it. And he's got a wicked... So check out DJ Destruction's YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. He does loads of quality mixes on there. Yeah, so it was lovely to hang out with Ross. It was lovely to listen to him DJ. And that would be quite cool doing a Twitch thing, I guess.
It'd be good fun, right? We'll see how it goes.
Absolutely, yeah.
And test it out. Yeah. So that loveliness did not last. And there's now, as we record this, there's a vote going on at the moment as to what the plan's going to be.
Well, that's a really good point.
I know you've had a lot of abuse already because of COVID passports having to be a thing. How's it all looking? How are you feeling about it? How stressed are you?
It's been really weird. It's like, you know, obviously the nightclub industry got hit really hard. You know, obviously we shut when everyone else shut, and we was one of the last industries to sort of reopen and be able to trade. And, you know, we're not part of a big chain. We're a little independent. And, you know, thankfully we got through it. And what happened afterwards, everybody coming out, and was brilliant. You know, got some money in the bank. And then obviously at the time of recording, it's a couple of days after the government have said that COVID passports have to be presented and stuff like that.
And that was that from the Friday? Oh, no, it was from the Monday, wasn't it? So you've not had to do it yet, have you?
So we reopen on Friday, and it'll be the first night. And the Friday that we're talking about being the 17th is the last Friday before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So that's generally when one of the busiest nights of the year for us, which is when most businesses shut, unis are back.
Yeah.
And so we have a huge, blowout. Huge event that night. And it's going to be really strange. You know, like any night... it's a condition of entry to have ID to come in a club. You know, however old you are, you just need to present your ID to come in. And so that presents problems with people going, oh, I'm fucking 30. And it's like, it's not about that. We just need proof of ID. However, with this, you know, there's no leniency. It's not like there's six people that are clearly 40 plus and one of them has not got their ID. Mm. And it's like, well, okay, well, look, bring it next time. We can tell, you know.
That sounds like a paedophile ring to me.
There's no way around it with this. And it's the thing that's really kind of upset me more than anything is just the fact that people think it's something that we want to do.
Mm.
Like on the political side of things and our belief system as to what's going on, all we care about is this pandemic fucking off and going away and nobody getting ill.
Mm.
And so we're not nailing some political statement to the club at all. You know, we just we just want to be able to do what we do, but do it safely.
And it's the law.
And
that's as simple as that.
The fundamental part of it is, it's not our decision. It's the law. And we've had people message us saying, like, you know, we're never coming to your establishment again. Can't believe you're doing this. And it's...
Wasn't that before COVID? They just said that to you directly.
Yeah, that was after my
After your DJ set, yeah. After Stu's third DJ set, I can't believe you're doing this. Can't I'm never coming to your establishment
again. Red Hot Chili
How
Peppers.
Dare you?
Like, no, but, you know, the conversation, the decision's not ours. You know, we're doing what every other nightclub in the country has to do, and because it's been told that that's the law. And it's just a shame that some people are being really horrible to us. I mean, it's few and far
you
between.
You do look upset, you know, I'll be honest
but
with you.
Most people are super supportive and know that it's not our decision. We've just got to do what we can do to, as an independent club, to stay open and trade safely and abide by the law that's in place. Otherwise, as Lyson said, I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to go, oh, that's all right. Like, just come in. Because, you know, and my
and
income.
It's people's safety as well.
100%. Like, that's,
you know,
the
it's everyone's
thing.
Safety. And if all these people have come in with their passport, you're letting one person in without. That's saying fuck you to all of them, essentially.
Absolutely.
It's going, oh, he's all right, Dave, fuck it.
And not just all the staff.
Yeah. And you, high risk at your age.
Mate, honestly, Stu, that's who you need to think about is number one, mate.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it's you know... It's just been a bit sad that some people have just got really angry about it. And knowing you think, well, if you're angry about it, get angry with the government, get angry with your local council. Don't get angry with us, because we're just doing what we've been told to do.
I think people just don't think about all those factors before they start they don't think about the layers that are involved in running that business either. It's not like you're just, yeah, cool, let's go against all of that and bankrupt ourselves. And yeah, it's really sad, Stu, that people feel like that. It is a complicated subject, and many people see this in black and white. And sometimes I wish I did with life, because it'd be a lot easier. But there's so many factors to go on here that just it's difficult for a human brain to conceive what is the sensible, most logical, safest approach. And there's so many opposing views on it now. It's mad.
It's the fact that it's this or you're closed.
Yeah.
Like, there's not really any other options with how much things are spreading. It's like, well, what do you want? Do you want to have the club open again?
Yeah.
In reality, the safest option is to close everything again. So this is a fucking lenient middle ground. It's not some authoritarian, control.
Like, surely in an area of uncertainty, people who might disagree with it can appreciate that in a realm of uncertainty, you have to operate with a level of caution, maybe a little bit more caution 100%. As well. Like, because we're talking about human life, but figures and opinions on every other like weird news outlet will massage all of it, so beyond the point where it is not a real thing at all, and that's what you're facing. But like. Yeah, I don't know. So many wider conversations about what I see on social media.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, my personal belief is, going off where we are, the safest option would be for everything to be closed. But that's why I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
It's just as simple as that. If to be open and to be deemed reasonably conscious, you need COVID passports or whatever else. It's like, fair enough. And again, it's that thing that people are like, yeah, but then they've got all your information and all this kind of thing. It's like, the NHS have any... way, right, you know that if you go in for a scan, it's on your NHS file.
Sorry, COVID, if you've got a fucking COVID phone,
passport,
what are you going on about?
Or even just on this, you know, acknowledged and accepted thing, the COVID passport is just showing what's already on your NHS file. It's a way of showing that. It's not any extra, like, a COVID passport isn't any extra information. Yet it's this, oh, they're watching us, they're doing this and that. It's like, not more than they always have. It's why, like, I'd never had the NHS app, and I downloaded it because of all this shit that's going on. I found it fascinating, going, oh, when I was 14, what the fuck is this medication I had?
Like,
it's got
that.
All your medication over your whole life
on
there.
Yeah, I've got exactly 40 medications.
When you downloaded it, Chris, did it take up like 80% of your phone storage?
Basically. And it was all, like, most of mine was repeat prescription for the clap. So...
Oh, they're all, you know...
reason for medication, too long didn't read.
Oh,
but
dear.
Yeah, it must be stressful, right? Because again, as we said on the last one, I thought it was amazing when you guys initially announced you were opening and then backtracked and went, we're not quite certain yet. And anyone who's on your case and attacking you is a fucking idiot, because clearly you guys have been doing what you can to find that middle ground, to find safe, but also we want you to be able to come and have fun and all 100%. This kind of...
We, you know, I keep saying it, we're an independent club and we fucking love our customers, past and present, because they've kept us...
Do you mean past as in the ones that died?
Them ones?
During, you know, like, being a super spreader.
But, like... No, but, you know, it is different from a lot of other places, you know. People's kids come there from, like, and their parents used to come. It's like, not many clubs have that lifespan. And to think that we'd do anything to knowingly cause, you know, extra work for somebody to have a night out is ludicrous. Mm. We want people to come and experience what they've experienced for the last 30 years, which is just jumping around, being who you want to be, having a bit of fun in a dirty, sweaty room. But, as it stands at the moment, you've just got a couple of little things you've got to do with your phone and an app just to make sure that you can do it as safely as possible.
Do you remember when I was
I can't remember anything. All I keep thinking about is the fact that, to my right, I've got an action figure of me with my dinkle hat.
Oh, no, it's a show. Ryan again, Riker, the legend.
Speaking of memories, I made a note to ask, have we ever discussed the time I got glassed at the Brush?
No.
And you looked after me out the back.
Really?
It was when we didn't particularly know each other.
When did you glass, Pip?
I remember I got glassed at the Brush.
With a bottle, your plastic glasses.
Or someone threw, a bottle or glass or something off the stage. And again, it was good probably 15 years ago, so it depends on what you had then. But yeah, someone just threw a glass of some sort off the stage. It wasn't obviously aimed at me, unless it's fucking Hawkeye. And I just got smashed in the back of the head. I remember feeling it and then being like, oh, fucking hell, dancing a bit. And then putting my hand up and my hand coming away covered in blood. And I started storming about because I was a bit drunk. Chris knows. I've never been a tough guy, but I was out for blood then. And I remember being taken out kind of a door before the toilets.
Yeah.
And taken out there by you and probably a security or something. And kind of everyone kind of patching up my head a bit and maybe putting some kind of plaster on or the little things, and you're all trying to kind of calm me down. I go, no, we're looking into it. We're looking into it. It's like, no one's looking into it. I'm going to go and find. And after I'd been patched up, I remember spending about half an hour storming about on the stage trying to
figure out. Who looks like they've thrown a glass like half hour ago.
All right, Priro.
I don't know what clue I'm going to find. Yeah. Someone throw in another one.
With a magnifying glass.
fucking
we got to dust this room for Prince.
A gremlin popping up. Throw another one. Get him! Grabbing his ears. I don't know what I thought I was going to do, but I was fuming about it.
That's the worst
and
one.
Yeah, I forgot completely. Like, it was definitely you that took me out the back at the time, and definitely, yeah, it was kind of looked after by staff a bit, but I don't think we've ever discussed it, but yeah.
That's I've got cute. No recollection of it, though. Obviously.
You do that a lot, though, Stu. Like, you tell me a lot when you've had to look after someone, or like also
you're
deal
first
with
aider and stuff.
Like massively drunk people wanting to be what really drunk.
Handsome guys.
Definitely not going to remember the next day.
what's weird is it's what happened to you. If someone like gets a whack on the head by something, or they get elbow dancing, unfortunately, every now and again, someone will get whacked with a bottle.
Your head, and with booze in you, it bleeds
it's
like
worse.
Crazy. So and I was literally, I'd moved on. I'd like a bit quickly. I was like, that's annoying. Then it was when it made me panic. Yeah. It made me angry. It was just seeing the blood.
And that's the bit. And then like when someone's there, you've got girlfriends, boyfriends going, fucking hell, look at him. He's got blood pouring down. I'm like, wait, just wait. And then I'll sit him down and I'll just wipe it and go, look. And there's a cut about, I don't know, half a centimetre wide, but because you're pissed and it's the head, the blood pours and it's like, don't worry, it's not as bad as it looks. And then once you clear it up, you're like, there.
That was
like,
exactly it. That was exactly it. They're kind of calming me down. I remember one of the HMV lot came with me out the back because I was storming about, and it was a bit of an HMV, like we'd got a minibus and all that kind of thing. But yeah, completely. I only remembered that the other day. I was like, we've never discussed that.
No.
We've known each other really well now.
You know what I think?
For at least a couple of years.
The reason why he's never discussed it is because beard, it never happened. And that's another little 90s saying that we haven't.
Beard.
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 But, beard.
And do you ever remember having to deal with a big bloke who'd got headbutted on the dance floor? Because I remember being there with Chris and him headbutting a big lad.
I had to change all my clothes with it. But the worst thing was, I changed all my clothes just with Aaron. So
oh, good choice.
So, like,
absolute stitcher.
When I think about it,
no explanation.
When I think about it, that was a terrible thing.
Anyone
to do.
Who is.
No time to explain.
I switched all clothes with Aaron. I was like, they're after me, like being security. But that was from the guy bullying someone. He was bullying someone, and then he pushed John Allen over, our friend.
Yeah.
And so I basically said, man, watch what you're doing. And the guy just slapped me in the face. He just slapped me. And
again, we're giving a really bad impression of the brush. We're just saying how inclusive it is and lovely and friendly.
Jesus Christ, so,
do you remember when I got glass there? Do you remember when that bloke was beating all of us up? Classic Essex Club.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he slapped you and you headbutted him, essentially, right?
I headbutted him, unfortunately, for the guy.
Slapping someone's so offensive.
He slapped me.
I'd rather get punched than
slap. The weird thing was, he was big, and I think he was doing a bit of a, like, Michael Caine get Carter, so he gave me a dry slap, and I thought he thought that was the end of it.
Yep.
And it wasn't. But I just feel sorry for... Now, looking back, I feel sorry for Aaron going, well, I've just done this massive nut job in... Where are all my clothes? I'm sure he's not got any friends.
The fact that... What, did you go in the toilets and change clothes?
No, I did it. The worst thing was, talk about, like, you wouldn't need to be Poirot to follow me.
He did it before
me.
He woke up. Quick. Standing in front of him. He swapped clothes with the bloke. The bloke woke up and he was in a tie-dye T-shirt. So fucking hell, how hard did he hit me?
Fucking hell, I headbutted myself. Oh, I better leave it out. No, I did it on the dance floor.
Fucking big, just woke up.
The things he hulked out.
I did it there and there and on the dance floors. They'd have never caught me, would they?
Oh, do you remember like cutting a man out of some clothes?
I'm sure he got kicked out. I'm sure that escalated to him being kicked
out.
It
usually does. I think it usually, in the situations I've been involved in, 9 times out of 10, I think security are smart enough to realise who's the troublemaker.
100%.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Right. Well, have you got any more brush memories? Or should we wrap this one up and start the next episode with the holiday stories?
Yeah, I've got to have a wee.
Go on, we'll make this first one a short one and then we'll get really messy. So, we'll see you in a bit.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was the end of part one. Fear not, because part two, it might already be on your phone, you know, because part two is coming out at midday. Depending on what time you're listening to this, it might already be there. So go and enjoy that, and I'll see you in a bit. Until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.